What was it like for Jesus, a 12-year-old boy who was both human and divine? Dom Augustine Measures, a Benedictine monk of Ampleforth Abbey, reflects on the Feast of the Holy Family and its implications for a boy who was both truly God and truly man, who as God knew everything, who as man needed to learn.
Well, today the Feast of the Holy Family, a feast which attracts our hearts, because whether we're of a good family or a bad family or a disintegrated family, we know the value of family. And there are so many factors in the modern world, particularly in the civilized world, which decry the value of family and militate against it. I'm thinking of divorce, abortion, you know, all these things which downvalue family so badly. And we realize the danger, the enormous danger this is to our human nature. Anyway, here we are on this wonderful feast which appeals to so many hearts. May I read you a little quote from an address by Pope Paul VI when he was at Nazareth, visiting it in 1964. He said, "The home of Nazareth is the school where we begin to understand the life of Jesus, the school of the gospel. The first lesson we learn here is to look, to listen, to meditate and penetrate the meaning, at once so deep and so mysterious, of this very simple, very humble, and very beautiful manifestation of the Son of God. Perhaps we learn even imperceptibly the lesson of imitation." You see? So those were his thoughts.
Father Augustine sets the scene.
And here we are with this famous story of what happened to Jesus, how he was lost by Joseph and Mary, as St. Luke calls them, his parents. You see, they were usually assumed to be his parents. Every year, the parents of Jesus used to go to Jerusalem for the feast of the Passover. Now, it's important to realize that this lad is now 12 years old. So he celebrated his bar mitzvah, which means that he has a status now. He's not just a kid, he is son. And what happens is, if I may dare to surmise, is this. You know how a 12-year-old can get totally engrossed in, say, a football match or something, or his computer game or something, and loses all track of time. I remember getting into trouble myself at that age because I was fascinated watching builders building a house, and I was meant to be back at home, and oh, we were going out to tea or something like that, and I got in a fearful row because I'd forgotten all about the time. And kids are like that, aren't they? Youngsters. And I suspect there's an element of that, because after all, he's a real child. He's not just a perfect child. Yes, he doesn't sin, but surely he must go through all the ups and downs of growing up, which are very numerous, as we know. So there we are, and so he's engrossed. He's learning to know his father. This is important to think about. He's learning to know his father. Joseph has been fathering him most assiduously and nobly and wonderfully, yes, given special graces by God so that he could be a real dad to this lad. Yes, yes. And Jesus could rely totally on Joseph as his earthly father. But then, as he comes to grow up in the Jewish religion, he comes to realize who his real ultimate father is, who he is himself. After all, we know, we quite easily say, yes, he is the Son of God. Well, what growing up process did he go through in that regard? I mean, a baby doesn't know who they are, who he is, who she is, you know, but they gradually find out, and it's a growing process. So when he realizes that his heavenly father is so engrossing to him, is it surprising that in the temple he loses all track of time? Then, oh Lord, it's gone dark. I'd better stay here because I don't know where they've got to. Was it today they said we were going home? I can't remember, you see. So he stays there in the temple, rather like the child Samuel 1,000 years before him, who is dedicated to God. He stays in the temple, and that's the safest place for him to be, obviously, in his father's house. And he listens to the scribes and the Pharisees, the great teachers of the law, and asks questions about things he doesn't understand as a human being, remember. And so he comes to learn more about his heavenly Father, and that means about who he really is, that he is the Son of God. And this is a tremendous transforming process going on, isn't it? And something which had to happen, but he's going through a sort of crisis of growing up in a very, very much bigger way than any human being ever goes through. And then poor Joseph and Mary, they had presumed that he was with the rest of the clan somewhere. They couldn't see him, but we're all milling along together. Then suddenly, when it comes to the time of him, he should have been back with us by now. He's not in the caravan. He's not in the convoy. So we have to rush back to Jerusalem and say, where on earth do we look for him? They're searching where all the places we've been, you know. Eventually, this is rather a tease for them, isn't it? They find him in the temple. He said, well, didn't you know that you'd find me in my father's house? I have to be about my father's affairs. You see, he's becoming more and more engrossed with doing his father's will. Doing his father's will.
The father's will was to be the direction and driving force of Jesus' whole life.
And that sentiment, can I call it that? That attitude of his comes out quite often in the gospel story. And there's a wonderful little scene I may end with. In St. Luke's Gospel, where he'd sent out the 72 disciples, and they'd on a preaching tour, and they'd come back and they'd say, it worked, it worked. We did what you told us to do, and we healed the sick, and we won people's hearts, and they gained disciples for Jesus. And Jesus rejoiced in the Holy Spirit and said, I thank you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because you have hidden these things from the intelligent and have revealed them to infants. Yes, Father, this is your gracious will. All things have been handed over to me by my Father, and no one knows who the Son is except the Father, or who the Father is except the Son, and anyone to whom the Son chooses to reveal him. Well, because he wants to reveal him. His Father to all of us, if only we will open our hearts. So that's what this story is deeply about. There must have been a terrible shock for Mary and Joseph, but thank goodness it turned out well, you know. And they were consoled by the recovery of this wonderful child, this wonderful son, the young, he's a young lad now, he's not a kid anymore, you see. Then he has to wait 18 years before his father decides now is the time to start the work of salvation in a big public way, you see. So God bless us all. May we all love family more and more.